My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
Jody Mack is on the mic. He's waited all week to talk to you, take your calls, read your tweets, and handicap and recap the week that was. Here's Jody Mack.
Jim Mack here with you on CBS Sports Radio. 4th and final hour, we will make it a good one. That's a promise. Got 60 minutes left to play with you guys, and I'll get my phones open again for the final 40 minutes or so at 855-212-4227. We're going to spend the next 20 minutes talking about the association, NBA action, with one of the best writers in the country. He's the blogger-in-chief, Pro Basketball Talk on NBCSports.com. Mr. Kurt Heelan joins me on CBS Sports Radio. Exciting game that you got to today didn't go over well for the Warriors. They got their main guy, Seth Curry, back, and it didn't lift them to a victory over the Lakers. Which is it, a better win for the Lakers or a worse loss for the Warriors?
Oh, I think it's a better win for the Lakers. This is, look, they're scrapping now just to make the play-in. The Warriors are in. They've got execution that they've got to clean up, and I think that was really evident tonight. It's what the story going up at NBC in a few minutes is on, is that, look, I think you can watch this game and see flashes where you're like, ooh, that team could be really dangerous, and then there's a lot of flashes where they were just sloppy, and they were still adjusting to getting Curry back as part of it, but their defense hasn't been great all year. So they've got work to do over the last, 17 games, 18 games, whatever they got left now. But for the Lakers, like, every win, especially with LeBron out, is just, especially ones they weren't supposed to win like this, it's a huge plus.
They're a dogfight, and they came out on top of it, so I agree with you. Much better win for the Lakers than a crushing defeat from the Warriors. The Warriors got time to get their act together. Which leads me to a conversation I've had the last 2 days here on the show about Kevin Durant. Gets traded now for the third time, or ends up with his fourth team with Phoenix. They are now 3-0, had a big game today. I'm sure you watched some of it either before you left or at the arena when you got there. He puts up a 37 spot. Looks like he fits with a glove for the Suns. And I said that that would happen because I said I don't know of anyone who has changed teams, superstar player in the NBA, who's more of a plug-and-play guy than Kevin Durant. Yeah. His game just fits on almost what any team in the NBA wants to do. He's not ball dominant. He's good on defense. He's not a deterrent. He can cover a couple different positions. He's not going to win Defensive Player of the Year, but he's not a rabble-rouser. He's not an ego guy. He just fits in with the teams that he goes to. Is that enough to make Phoenix the favorite in the West?
I don't know. I've still got questions about, I mean, look, they looked good the last couple of games. They got some nice wins. This was a quality win over a Dallas team still trying to figure themselves out, but obviously with some elite talent as well. But I don't know the answer. I'm not completely sold yet. I need to see more consistent defense. I need to see them do this over time. And all that said, they've looked really good for a couple of games, or good, despite some holes. some holes in their game outside their top, you know, we'll call it their core four. If they get a good game from Chris Paul and DeAndre Ayton, which may not, they've got to be consistent in the playoffs. And all that said, in a West that, I mean, I guess Denver's the best team. Like, I like Denver. Look, Denver is the best team. They're going to finish with the top seed. They have depth and all this stuff, but they haven't done it in the playoffs. So we're all hesitant, I think, to give, you know, to anoint them just because they haven't done it yet. And there's a certain amount of American sports, I don't know, in all sports. Like, you can't do it until you've done it. You know, we don't believe it. But if that's the best team, then, yeah, you know what? Kevin Durant and Devin Booker can carry you through some series. I think they've got a chance.
Let me ask you about Denver, because I agree with you. They've been the best team, and they're probably going to finish up with the number one seed. I don't think Phoenix can possibly catch them
in
the last 20 games. There's nine games between the two of them, so they're going to be the number one seed. What's different about this Denver team? Why are they better? Why they've had good seasons? They finished in the top half of the Western Conference, but they've never been the number one seed before. What's better about this Nugget team this year?
I think they're defending a lot more consistently, and they just got healthy on offense. This was a team that, especially when you got to the postseason, why you didn't fear them was they were kind of a one-man show. And the reason, well, one of the reasons, Jokic has two MVPs is he had to carry an insane load. He had to carry this incredible load the last couple of years just to get them where they were. Now they're beyond that. Now they are, you know, Jamal Murray, you know, he's missed some time with health, and if he's healthy and back, he started to regain form and started to look like his pre-injury self. Aaron Gordon has stepped up with a big season. They've just kind of got a well-rounded, balanced roster. They've won a lot of regular season games. The question, I think, like, is what happens when tested? What happens when are they able to defend like this when they're really thrown in the cauldron of the playoffs? I'm not really questioning. Jokic has had huge playoff games. I'm not really questioning him, but is everybody around him ready for those moments? And those are the things that give you pause from just saying, oh, they're going to do this, to, hey, you know, maybe Phoenix can get them because the high-end talent of Booker and Durant is so great. So I think they're there, but I'm like everybody else. I'm just a tad hesitant.
I brought this up at the beginning of the show today, and your opinion will draw a lot of weight because it's earned and deserved. I'm watching Durant and Kyrie go in mano a mano today, and I'm realizing that both of those two players, who for my money someday are going to be in the Basketball Hall of Fame, are both on their fourth teams. Yeah. They both just got dealt, and now they're playing for their fourth different team in their NBA career. And LeBron has played for four teams. All right, Cleveland twice, but right. Four, yeah. He got up and moved three different times. And that the MVP level, superstar, potential Hall of Fame level players now just relocate in the NBA, whereas Larry Bird only played for the Celtics. And, yeah, I know Michael Jordan had that little two-year dip in with the Wizards, but he's a Chicago Bull. He's always been a Chicago Bull. He's always going to be considered a Chicago Bull. Magic Johnson only played for the Lakers. Larry Bird only played for the Celtics. Is the NBA better because you're getting players traveling to other places and going and showing their wares in other markets? Or was it when players came up with a team, became a superstar with a team, helped that team win championships, and then just stayed there? Which is better?
I know what most fans would say, but I don't think it was always quite so cut and dried. I mean, obviously, it was a little more cut and dried in, like, the 60s when
there was no such thing as free agency. Right, yes. No, I understand that.
But even, I mean, Kareem moved, and Wilt moved, and Shaq moved a bunch of times. And so I'm not sure it's always been that way. But I think that there has been, I don't want to say pushback, but I think that there is kind of a pendulum swing the other way in the sense that some of the young players coming up now aren't necessarily looking to leave. And Damian Lillard has kind of talked about, hey, I want to win where I am. I think Giannis Antetokounmpo has become the poster child for, hey, you can do it if you're good enough in the right place. Now, granted, he got, I mean, they got Chris Middleton, and they went and got Drew Holiday, and they made really smart decisions around him. But that's the model I think you see a lot of young, you know, you see Zion Williamson, despite all the Knicks rumors, right? Zion Williams talks about that, and Ja Morant has talked about it. He's got his own issues now, but Ja Morant has talked about that. I think they're not as eager to move, and I think when guys do look to move, it's going to be a little more like Anthony Davis, which, granted, was, I'm not sure, handled terribly well by he and his, or his agency. But I'm also of the school that most people, at least outside of New Orleans, would be like, I don't know, man, you gave them 7 years. They put crap around you. That team wasn't going to win if you were playing like a superstar. I kind of get it. I think that that's more the mindset now.
Okay, a couple of guys I want to follow up on that you mentioned. Is Dame really going to stick it out there a decade plus if he's not even making the play-in round? They're outside looking in right now. Maybe they get in, and maybe at least he gets to show his wares in a three-game set, but who the hell knows? I know that you're right. He has said that he likes Portland. He wants to bring a championship to Portland. At some point, does the frustration just get the better of him, and he does what other NBA superstars do, get me out of here and force his way in a trade out of town?
Not in the short term. As much as he expressly, even at All-Star Weekend, was talking about, hey, I want to win, he really is giving them a chance to do this around him. He doesn't want to leave. He signed a max extension to stay. He signed a max extension for the money, but he could have. He's made a lot of money. He could have. He's got endorsements. He could have jumped. I don't think he's going anywhere. He's certainly not going anywhere for a couple of years. If they miss the postseason this year, I know they have ambitious plans for the offseason. If those fall through and they struggle again next year, then we'll see. I'll show it this way. I think Bradley Beal is far more likely to be on the move, or someone like that. Carl Anthony Towns' names come up. Like, I think all of that is more likely than seeing Lillard move in the next year or two.
Fair enough. Another guy you mentioned was Ja Morant. We've kicked it back and forth for the last 2 days here on CBS Sports Radio. It's one thing to get caught on video packing. If it's somebody else's video and it goes viral, it's another when you put it up there yourself on your own Instagram, flashing a gun in a club. Is he just so entitled that he doesn't believe anything can, should, or will happen to him? Or is he just dumb?
Yeah, I know. By the way, I just came out of the, 10, 15 minutes before talking to you from the Grizzlies coach press conference here in L.A.
Okay.
He may be out longer than two games. In fact, they made it sound like it's going to be longer than two games. They weren't wisely not getting into the details, kind of like the Nets did with Kyrie Irving. But don't be shocked if it's longer than two games. I just think he's 23 and kind of nobody had said no to him. I know for a fact that, you know, look, he had the incidents over the summer where he, you know, he's being sued over the fight with the 17-year-old guy at a pickup game, and there was the stuff with the Pacers earlier this year with his crew and at a mall, and all this stuff. There's been more. I know that they've tried, let's call it mentoring conversations. Like they've tried to talk about this, and now the Grizzlies felt they had to take the next step. But I think part of it was, until now, there has been no consequence for his actions. There's been a lot of, hey, man, but he's, I would say entitled, but also got to live the life of a 23-year-old, face of the franchise, all-star, I think he started, didn't he? All-star starter. Mm-hmm. He's got a new Nike signature shoe that drops next month. He is going to be all over your television during March Madness with a Powerade commercial, but I think comes out next week. He's got this. He's had all this. Everything keeps coming to him, and there was nothing to motivate a change in his behavior until the suspension, until now. And by the way, I'm sure I don't know this, but I would be shocked if Nike didn't have a conversation with him about this, in the wake of this. And they're in business. So it'll be interesting to see how things change after this, because I think that just that nothing had forced a change in his behavior, and he'd been 23 and rich and can kind of do what I want.
All right, here's where I'm going to fight back a little bit on your continually throwing out the 23 age argument. He's also a fourth-year NBA player.
Yeah.
So if you come in at 19 and you're in your fourth season in the NBA, you're only going to be 23, and compared to most of the rest of the country, 23-year-olds are just getting their first job and making a bit of coin for the first time. He's been in the NBA for 4 years now. So the growing pain, even though it's a little bit more advanced, a little bit quicker, and that's what they want, to be able to jump after just 1 year right into the NBA, you are asked to grow up a little quicker than other people as well. So that's why I'm not buying the defense of 23-year-old.
Fair enough. I think in his case, it was 2 years in college, I believe, but 2 years at Murray State, which is, I mean, there's the university in town, and I have, you know, two stores and a Walmart. I'm not sure. It's not the biggest town in Tennessee where Murray State is, or wherever Murray State is. I'm going to get in trouble for that one. I think it was a little more of a culture shock necessarily than for some other guys, but your point is valid. Like, at the end of the day, you're still responsible for your actions, and he screwed up. I just think this is the first time he's really paying the consequence for his actions, so now we'll see what happens.
Yeah, the state of Kentucky forgive you for getting that Murray State.
Oh,
is it
Kentucky? Okay.
Kentucky.
Yeah, the funny thing is, like, I know people who went to Murray State, and I can guarantee you I'm getting texts in about
And don't kid yourself, I didn't know. My producer told me in my ear, too. So I didn't know where Murray State either. So we're both got to do better geography on our college teams. All right. We talked about the Suns and their good win against the Mavs today. We talked about the Lakers and their good win today against the Warriors. Last night, Sixers got a huge win, ending the Bucks' 16-game winning streak.
Yeah.
I've been telling all my Philly listeners, listen, they might not catch the Bucks. They might not catch the Celtics, but nobody's catching the Sixers from behind. They're pretty much locked in at the 3 seed. They've proven they have trouble beating the Celtics, but they've beaten the Bucks twice. Harden looked like his old MVP self. We haven't seen much of that in Philly, but God, he was great last night against the Bucks. How legit are the Sixers in the Eastern Conference?
I think they've got a chance. I think that there's just a little more. I've just got more questions. I think there's a little bit more of a hole in their game or in their rotations compared to the Bucks and the Celtics, who over the course of 7 games, I would still take the Bucks, but it's, Let's be honest, those are the two best teams in the NBA. And in my book, Philly's 3 and Denver's probably 4, if you're just ranking. Maybe, you know, again, Denver's been great in the regular season, but playoffs, where my questions are about how much can you play Maxey and Harden together? Like, is that just a defensive problem? We'll see. But I think that they've actually got a chance. They're certainly not a favorite, but I think that they absolutely have a chance in the East, and that second round matchup is going to be whatever it is, whichever team goes up against Philly is just going to be insane. And if I were Milwaukee and Boston, I'd be fighting tooth and nail to get that one seed.
Oh yeah,
because whoever I've got to play isn't going to be what Philly is.
Agreed on that front. And that's what's all going to come down to the Sixers, because they make the playoffs every year, they win the first round, and they get beat in the second round. So they have to advance at some point. It's going to be hard against either the Bucks or the Celtics. That will be a war of a series. I'm watching Boston, New York now, and they just gave a shot of Joe Mazzulla on the sidelines. I think he's absolutely a candidate for Coach of the Year in the NBA this season. He's done a phenomenal job, thrown into the fray right before the season started, and Boston's got right there with Milwaukee, 1 or 2, 1 or 1A, how you want to rank them. How much does his playoff inexperience make Boston a question mark going into the postseason?
Not too much, I don't think, just because I think the team kind of knows who it is and what it wants to do. He was on the bench last year. I think they've got I think they're solid in their identity, and he gets that. So I'm not overly concerned about that one. A little, maybe. We'll find out, but I, I'm I just don't think that that's going to end up being a huge playoff issue for them. Just because he's got so much. What makes them so, the team to beat, in my mind, is just the versatility. They can just beat you so many ways. They've got good players up and down. You want to go small, want to go big, want to, like, whatever you throw out there, they can match up with on both ends of the floor. It's a real problem for everyone else. So, and by the way, you're spot on. Missoula is, my guess is he's going to finish in the top three somewhere. Mike Brown's probably the front runner right now. If just talking to other voters, I don't know who I'm going to vote for, but Missoula is a name that comes up a lot in these conversations, along with Budenholzer and including J.B. Bickerstaff and some others.
Right. The prerequisite to win Coach of the Year is not who coaches the best team, because overachieving expectations are usually what wins the day. But I had no bloody idea who this guy was when he became the coach of the Boston Celtics. So my expectations, despite the fact that they were in the NBA final last year, weren't that high. That's why I would give it to him.
Well, I think the challenge he had of being thrown in a that's a situation that could have overtaken the team. It could have been a huge distraction. He kept them focused on the game. So he gets some credit there. Like, honestly, until they made 8 million trades and probably cost him his job, I thought Jacques Vaughn was in the mix for the same reason.
Agreed. And you want to know something? The Nets are going to be dangerous come playoff time, and not just because they came back from 28 points and beat the Celtics the other night. I think they actually did okay in the trades that they made, given Durant.
I think considering everything, considering the situation, they did as well as they could.
Yep.
And again, they may not have the elite. They don't have an elite player on that roster anymore. They got a lot of good players who are versatile. And then in the playoffs, sometimes it's about not having a weakness.
And we'll see what the Nets can do. They're going to make the playoffs, but they could be dangerous when they get in there. All right. I meant to ask this question when we were talking about Durant. Last one for you. Is Josh Bartlestein going to clean up Phoenix's act? We know Kevin Durant's going to do a lot more for Phoenix playoff chances this year, but Phoenix needed to clean up a pretty significant issue and problem they had under previous ownership. Who's this guy from the Pistons, Josh Bartlestein, and I don't know him. Is he the right hire to steward that franchise?
I think so. I think you've got a steadying force, and I think above and beyond just him, you bring in bringing him in from Detroit, that's a Matt Ishbia connection, the new owner there who I suppose most people remember, but he's a Michigan guy. He was a walk-on at Michigan State and won a national championship when they won in, as a walk-on, he didn't really play, but in what, that 2001? I'm going to go blank off the top of my head. But
okay.
There's a lot of Michigan ties there, and Ishbia brought this guy in. I think it's somebody he trusts, but I think along those lines, I think you've got a you're excited if you're a Suns fan because A, you've got a much more stable ownership group that's not going to have these distractions. And the second thing is he is spending into the tax in a way. Look, if Sarver still owned this team, they would not have made that trade.
Right. They don't do what it takes to get a guy like Kevin Durant. Always a pleasure, Mr. Heelan. You always bring the goods when you jump in. Thanks for doing so tonight. I'll get back with you before the playoffs get underway.
Take care. I'll talk to you soon.
My pleasure. Kurt Heelan, blogger-in-chief of Pro Basketball Talk on NBCSports.com. Always does a great job when he hops in with us.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.